Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Toyless of Titles. My name is Justin Stevens, and I'm here with you for our waiver wire episode. This is a weekly waiver wire episode that I'm going to be sending out primarily to the Patreon supporters. Fortunately for some of you, since we only have a few, we are going to be releasing this to others later on. But tonight is Monday Night Football. It's actually still going on. We're in overtime right now. But I wanted to get this rolling so that I could try to hit the sack. I'm going to get this out only to our Patreons for tonight, Patreon supporters tonight. And then the rest of you, like I said, we'll drop it to you tomorrow or Wednesday. We're kind of uncertain on that just yet at the moment, but we are going to get rolling here. So first off, I want to talk about some of the different things behind the scenes here with the Toyless of Titles brand. Obviously you can check us at toylessoftitles.com down there. You can find all of our videos, our articles, and any fantasy football content we have out there, along with our rankings list. it's all out there. Let's see. Down there at the bottom, if you would, just make sure you hit that subscribe button, ring that bell, give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcast, all the same normal stuff that you guys have been doing to support us all along. The show is really growing, and you guys are a huge part of it, especially you Patreon supporters. You can find us at Apple Podcast, YouTube, Facebook, Podbean, When a Family Breaks, and Spotify. And then, of course, patreon.com/toylessoftitles. This is what this episode is all about. You have three different levels. If you are a $5 or higher supporter, then that's like a combo meal for lunch once a month, guys. So it means a lot to us because it builds up and we can do a lot with that money, a lot of things that we plan on doing in the future, some big things, hopefully snagging some big interviews, a lot of different things to help you with your fantasy football teams and just your overall entertainment for NFL in general. Please help us out with that, and we'll try to help you as well. Across the bottom, you'll see the list of all the names of everybody that's working hard on the team to help bring this show to you. I'm going to get started by talking about last week's successes. I'm going to do this every waiver wire episode. Now, last week we didn't have a whole lot of names. As a matter of fact, we did this like 2 weeks ago. So a lot of the guys were like Gus Edwards and guys like that were hurt before the season even started. So last week, Jameis Winston, Darnell Mooney, and Gabriel Davis were probably our most successful names on that list that we hit you guys with. So obviously, if you had Jameis in a lot of formats, he had 5 touchdowns and he absolutely dominated on his 14 pass completions. So he killed it this week. That offense is obviously moving really well with Jameis, and he's proven that he really is a better quarterback than Taysom Hill, which wasn't too awful hard to do, but I was shocked at how much they did not utilize Taysom Hill because of how effective Winston was with that offense. I'm sure Hill will have his games, but yeah, so that was last week. So now this is this week. So here's how this is going to break down. I'm going to go over one position at a time based on how everything was put into the list here. We have all the guys on the team that put in the guys that they are looking to try to pick up off of waivers this week. And I also I'm going to throw in a kicker every week because I still have respect for the kickers. They do call it football for a reason. So I'm always going to throw in a kicker, and I've got a couple of team defenses on there because this episode is primarily based around the redraft mentality. Obviously there's waivers and DFS and IDP and all that. So if we have some good DFS guys or some good IDP guys, we might throw them in there from time to time, but it looks like for this week, all the guys really pretty much just went with redraft. We have wide receivers on the board first. The first guy on our list was from Coach Sheps. He put Khalif Raymond down on the list. Raymond led all Lions wide receivers in snaps this week. The Lions are going to be down a lot, so you're going to see a lot of garbage time points. They have Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, and the Rams just as a few of their matchups coming up in the upcoming weeks for your garbage time Lions. I tacked on with that with Quintez Cephas pretty much for Cephas. I don't really know how to pronounce it, but for all those same reasons that John likes Khalif Raymond, Quintez had three more targets than Raymond, but Raymond was more of the deep threat, more of the heavy hitter. So they both provide decent decent aspects to a deep league. So definitely worth looking into. Let's see. Tim Patrick and KJ Hamler with Jerry Jeudy going down for several weeks with a high ankle sprain. There's a really good chance that both of these guys are going to be pretty active. I believe you saw Tim Patrick on the thumbnail for this episode, but I can see KJ Hamler also being a pretty pretty heavy guy with the waivers, but I think Patrick's going to be the main guy there because he is the guy that got the touchdown between the two, but they were both targeted the same number of times. And Patrick had four catches for 39 yards while Hamler had three catches for 41 yards. I think they're pretty similar and they're going to be pretty similarly used, but since Patrick got the touchdown and he's a little bit more well-known, he's probably going to be the guy that most people spends a little bit more of that fab money on. So you might be able to sneak in there and get Hamler for a little cheaper, if not free. And depending on the size of the league, obviously, and ride that out. They have the Jacksonville and the Jets are two of their next – or are their next two opponents. So Jacksonville and the New York Jets obviously leave a lot to be desired on defense most of the time. So so this could be a good time to pick up both of those players. Anthony Schwartz is a guy that I'm pretty excited about. He's on my list as well. He was 3 for 69 on five targets. He had one rush for 17 yards. They were looking for ways to get this guy the ball. He looked crazy fast on the field. He tied Landry for the most targets from all the wide receivers from Baker. So this was also obviously without OBJ, so that's something that needs to be considered, and the Browns always seem to get disrespected. So at least the Browns players, when it comes to fantasy, a lot of times they're overlooked. So you could probably get this guy for pretty cheap also. And I think that even with OBJ, when he comes back, they're going to find ways to get this guy the ball. And if OBJ is out another week, or even if he's not, they have Houston next week, which is a pretty good matchup. So go ahead and pick him up for cheap now and see what happens. Terrace Marshall Jr. was one of Nate's picks here. He is only 21% owned in redraft league, only had three catches for 26 yards, but saw six targets and should be a slot guy going forward. Houston, Philly, and the Giants and Atlanta are four of their next seven games. So they have a pretty easy schedule coming up. And with him being considered what I would think the number three guy, or as Nate put it, the slot guy, I can see him getting a lot of attention in that offense. Guys, the reason we're laying out so many different names here, by the way, is because we understand that there are different formats and there's different levels of depth in your waivers. So that's something to consider when you're trying to determine who you're trying to pick up off of waivers. Like, for instance, this next guy, Christian Kirk, is a guy that is only owned in 3.6% of leagues. But after this week, after the performance he put up and the way that offense looked, he's going to be owned in a lot of leagues, probably more than that 70% or 60% threshold that we like for this show. So that's because for the leagues that aren't maybe that are, well, for the leagues that are deeper, he's definitely going to get taken, and he might even get taken in some of them that aren't as deep. So it's something to consider. So a guy like Christian Kirk is most likely definitely going to be get picked up. So then you might be able to get guys like Terrace Marshall later on for a little bit cheaper because he wasn't as active in a not as strong offense this past week. Anyhow, Christian Kirk is rostered, like I said, in 3.6% of redraft leagues, and could be a speculative add if you have the space to see how it plays out. That's Alex's words here. Personally, I think that he really proved that he really has stepped up. A lot of analysts in the offseason were talking about how he had a real chance to jump out, and I wanted to see it first, and now I'm too late. So I should have listened to them earlier, but he had five catches on five targets for 70 yards and two touchdowns. Now, granted, the touchdowns are not going to be sustainable, but the targets absolutely can be sustainable in that offense. They don't have a super strong rushing attack, so they're going to rely on Kyler Murray's arm a lot this season. There's still that's still his output for this game is still 12 PPR points, even without the touchdowns. Van Jefferson is another one of Alex's guys. I'm not quite as excited about that one, but I do see some of the points that he's making here. Van Jefferson is 1.6% owned. He looks to be taking over for the Brandon Cooks role, is kind of what Alex is saying here. He says that he thinks he will earn more targets moving forward, which absolutely I agree with that. He only had two catches for 80 yards and a touchdown. One of those catches was an 80-yard touchdown. That's not going to happen every week, guys. And that was on a broken play from the secondary. He was wide open and was able to trot on in to the end zone. 10 targets to Cooper Kupp, 4 targets to Woods, and then 3 targets to Jefferson. Again, I think he does kind of earn the opportunity for more looks later on in the season, maybe even as soon as this next week, but I don't expect a whole lot with those touches. It's just going to be that occasional breakout. So the downside that you're going to have if you pick up Van Jefferson is you don't really know when those touchdowns are going to come or when those long plays are going to happen. But I will say that he does face the Giants, the Lions, and the Texans in weeks 6, 7, and 8. So if you're trying to look ahead, maybe you got a tougher schedule during that time frame. Maybe you've got some bye week issues in weeks 6, 7, and 8. He is a guy that might be able, in a potent offense, to have an opportunity to score in those weeks. This week against the Colts had quite a few huge broken plays that happened to them in that secondary against Lockett and the Seahawks this week. So there is still that chance that they might have those broken plays against the Rams this week as well. Let's see. Cedric Wilson. Andrew put down Cedric Wilson. He says that he's going to be the wide receiver number 3 for the Cowboys with Gallup out. And Gallup is going to be out for at least 3 games. So there is some merit here because Wilson did step in and he had a few catches in the second half of the Thursday night football game against the Buccaneers. He plays the Chargers, Philly, and Carolina in these next 3 games that he should be the number 3. So he should see his fair share of targets over the next few weeks. And right now he is 0% owned. So that's another guy in deeper leagues that you can get and you can expect to see at least some kind of output from him. Sterling Shepard. This one is also Andrew's. Sterling Shepard says – he says that Shepard is 41% owned on Sleeper. Okay. So I don't really go by Sleeper on these because Sleeper does a heck of a lot of dynasty. So just to give you an idea, I didn't notice that he put that before. I'm going to look it up real quick on ESPN because ESPN is primarily all redraft, which again is what we try to, focus on a lot. So he is – yeah, he's only owned in 25% of ESPN leagues. So in redraft, he's even a lot less owned right now. So that's why we like to use ESPN for these if we can, because that's a big difference between 41% and 25%. So you could imagine the difference in a pretty good player as well. So just something to think about. He did lead the team in targets and receptions and should be repeatable going forward. And that's something to be said there, too. Playing for the Giants, you're going to be playing from behind, and there should be a lot of passing going on. So that's definitely a good one there. Ben jumped in and at the last minute and put a couple names on here. Rondale Moore is only 0.3% owned in redraft. 4 catches for 68 yards on 5 targets. He was everything high on Moore as he thought he would be, but would have been a first round. He says that he would have been a first round pick if he were 2 inches taller and will be the clear. And then he stopped. So I'm not sure what he meant by the clear. What I'm assuming he meant the clear number 2 or the clear slot or I'm not sure what he means exactly, but I will say that between Rondale Moore and Kirk, I think they're Christian Kirk, they're both going to get huge opportunity in that offense. So both of them are definitely worth picking up. Me personally, I believe that Kirk had 3 more targets than Rondale Moore. So there's something to be said there. Oh, wait, 5 targets for Rondale Moore. What did we say for Christian Kirk? Nope, 5 targets for Kirk as well. So 5 catches for 5 targets for 70 yards for Kirk. And those 2 touchdowns aren't going to stand every week. four catches for five targets and 68 yards for Rondell. So they were pretty much identical in their stats outside of the two touchdowns. So both of them are going to be utilized heavily in that offense. Both of them are worth trying to pick up and spending a little fat bucks on. Jalen Reagor, 57.6% owned in redraft. He had six targets in week one. That's not, and just like Ben says here, there's not too much competition for him beyond Smith and Goedert. So they have San Francisco, Dallas, Kansas City, Carolina, and Tampa Bay in their next five games. All of those games are games that they're likely going to need to rely heavily on the passing game to even have a chance. So I can definitely see this being a decent waiver wire add and just kind of see how it falls, see how it goes with that offense. Maybe they didn't just look that good because they played the Falcons. If your league is deep, this is what Matt says. If your league is deep and has first come, first serve waivers, Crowder could be worth a dart throw and is only owned 24%. Again, I want to take a look at that and see if that is the ESPN numbers, because I know he plays a whole lot of Dynasty. And yeah, in ESPN, he's only owned in 20%. So even a little bit less. So Crowder could also be owned in even less after this week. So maybe that's what he's trying to get at with first come, first serve. Crowder might actually get dropped by some teams this week because of the whole COVID situation and the fact that he didn't play this week. So if he gets dropped, then you might even be able to pick him up for cheaper or free after the waivers run. So that's a decent thought there. Next, we're going to talk about tight ends. We've got Dalton Schultz. He looks to be the Cowboys' tight end to own. This one is Shep, so he knows his Cowboys. Coach Shep's said that Dak looked real comfortable targeting him with Gallup out. I expect Schultz to see an uptick in targets. Guys, you know I'm a Blake Jarwin lover. I hate to admit it, but Dalton Schultz is obviously getting more targets, and they weren't just random broken plays or anything. Like, they were designed for Schultz, and some of those plays were while Jarwin was on the bench. Jarwin still had four targets. He still had a decent little game. If one of those two get hurt, the other one's going to be a top 10 tight end. But unfortunately, with both of them playing, you're looking at upside between the two, and Dalton is probably the one that's going to get more targets. Let's see. Then if we want to look at tight ends, we also have Andrew. He has David Njoku here. He said that Njoku has first-round pedigree, which is true. He led the team in receiving, also true. He's only owned in 4% on Sleeper, which means it's probably close to zero on ESPN. There's a crowded tight end room, but it's an encouraging sign at a shallow position. They have Houston and Chicago the next 2 weeks. Definitely worth an add here if you're desperate at tight end, or maybe your tight end is just weak and you need to, if you're maybe you're streaming from week to week on tight end. Now, if you really want tight ends, though, we got to look at Rich's group. Rich only put three players down, and all three of them are tight ends. This man loves his tight ends, evidently. I did not realize this. Pharaoh Brown is 0% owned, and it says that he fostered Texans. I'm not really sure what that means. let's see. Tyrod Taylor's security blanket. Yep, absolutely. See, a deep bench is only, but he played 59 of 78 snaps, 4 for 67 on 5 targets. So that's a pretty decent workload for a deep tight end, especially two tight end leagues that are really desperate situations. It's worth noting that Tyrod is going to throw to him a lot, and they're going to be down a lot this season, so they'll probably have to rely on that. Juwan Johnson was definitely an interesting one because I'm a big Adam Trautman fan. I'm still a big on Adam Trautman, but Juwan Johnson was the guy to have in the red zone. He's only 5% owned. he said it last week, too, that this man is a converted wide receiver playing tight end. Some format eligibility at wide receiver and tight end. Kind of a cheat code there, if you think about it. Only if you have a deep bench and can stash him, but he was 3 for 3 for 21 yards and 2 touchdowns. Again, obviously those touchdowns are not going to be sustainable every week, but if he is the red zone option with tight ends outside of the top three or four, most likely you're going to rely heavily on who's going to score a touchdown anyway. You may as well take the guy that's a red zone target for his team, especially a team that is clearly going to be in the red zone a lot. That actually makes a lot of sense. I will throw out there that Troutman was still three for 18 on six targets. So he was still targeted more, twice as much actually, but he wasn't getting those coveted red zone targets. So that's just something to consider there. If you're in a PPR league, and then maybe you still need Troutman in those deeper leagues, but Johnson might be the guy to have because of those red zone targets. Cole Kmet, 21% owned. Again, I don't know if that's ESPN or Sleeper, so I'm going to try to remind everybody that we're rolling with ESPN on these. But he is owned on a team that will be throwing from behind with Dalton, or if it's Justin Fields, rookie quarterbacks are best friends with their tight ends. We all know this. He played 51 of 69 snaps, so he was on the field a lot. And he is a tight end ready to break out. He had five catches for 42 yards on seven targets. Again, touchdown dependency with tight ends like this, but imagine if he had gotten a touchdown. It would have made that even that much better. But I agree with Cole Kmet. A lot of guys this offseason have been on Cole Kmet, so definitely somebody worth watching for. Let's see. We're going to go with quarterbacks next because there aren't that many. I believe we only had two. Joe stepped up, and I don't believe that this is just a homer pick because I can see where he's going with this. He put down Daniel Jones as a QB2, so obviously these are for super flex leagues. We're not into bye weeks yet, so if you're in a one quarterback league, you really should only be rostering one quarterback unless you have a deep bench and you can just play the matchups from week to week. But most one quarterback leagues, you're only rostering one. So these are for super flex or two quarterback leagues, and he's got Daniel Jones down. He said that Saquon, Galladay, and Tony are getting up to speed, which helps Jones out starting week three, if not maybe hopefully week two. Those guys hadn't even played in a preseason game. Also, a pretty tough schedule overall in the coming weeks that require a lot of passing on Danny Dimes' part. And then the last one for quarterbacks that we have here, Matt threw in Taylor Heinicke. Taylor Heinicke in a two-quarterback superflex league, again, just like with Danny Dimes. Fitzpatrick likely to be out several weeks, and Heinicke has proven to be a capable backup. Also, he has the Giants and Atlanta in two of the next 3 weeks. Let's see. I'm going to go running back next. That's obviously the big one. That's the one that most of you have probably been trying to watch for. But before I do that, I want to remind everybody you can check us out at Toylists and Titles. You got my handle down there at the bottom, at JustinFF_, and then across the very bottom, we're scrolling everybody. So please give everybody a follow. Reminding you again about that Patreon.com, guys. That's huge. That's really important. That's kind of our commercial break, so I could take a breather there. So the running backs, DJ Dallas, Penny went down again. This time he waited almost an entire half. So I was proud of the guy. Good job, Penny. But Rashad Penny is out again. He re-aggravated a calf injury and will miss a few weeks. We know how hard Carson runs. This is Coach Sheps talking again. We know how hard Carson runs, and we know his injury history. Dallas is the new handcuff. Okay, so now this is me talking. So when it comes to DJ Dallas, we've also seen glimpses of real talent there. I believe strongly that he's going to be able to take over that backup role and keep it with Penny being out. I think he's just a better running back than Penny. They have Tennessee, Minnesota, San Francisco, the Rams, the Steelers, and the Saints. Those are their next six games. That's a tough schedule to consider a running back from this team, especially one that's not the starter. But at the same time, it's also a tough schedule to expect Carson to carry the load unscathed. Pretty good chance that you might need to see DJ Dallas come off the bench to spell Chris Carson for a little while, or if Carson happens to get banged up in that rough stretch, you might end up seeing a lot of DJ Dallas. So I kind of like that one. That's a sneaky waiver pick right there. A not so sneaky one because everybody wanted to put him, but yours truly put him on the list first, so I'm taking credit. Kenneth Gainwell. Kenneth Gainwell rostered in 3.5% of leagues. He was utilized as the true backup to Miles Sanders, even though he wasn't the backup that was put in there. Initially, the second series after Miles Sanders got the first series went to Boston Scott, but they didn't even go to him a single time. He didn't get a single touch. Then they put in Kenneth Gainwell, and he went down with the team and scored scored a touchdown on their scoring drive. He had 9 carries for 37 yards and a touchdown. So he definitely proved that he is worth being the second back in that offense and worth being rostered in fantasy football. Matt and Joe also put some stuff down here about them, so about Kenneth Gainwell. So I'm going to go down here and check and see what they got. Joe says, I'm going to try to get down. He says, for one, the Eagles RB1 is Miles Sanders. Even though he's very talented, he is an injury waiting to happen. Number two, he believes that Gainwell was much more than just a change of pace option that he has, or than he was advertised to be coming into the draft. Number three, if and most likely when Sanders misses games with an injury, I believe that Gainwell can be the Eagles' legit RB1 for a number of games. And number four, he said, if Miles Sanders stays healthy, I believe Gainwell will still be a big part of this offense going forward. He says he's comparing them kind of to a Chubb and Hunt in Cleveland. I think he means to say maybe Chubb and Hunt light, because obviously they're not going to be that great of a duo, but maybe he does believe that. I'm not sure. But he does say that the dude can run, he can catch, and he can pick up the blitz. He's a legit 3-down back, in my opinion. So those are pretty high praises coming from Joe. And Joe was really high on him on his Eagles draft breakdown from this offseason that you can go back and watch as well. And yeah, so Joe's been on him since the beginning. He has Kenneth Gainwell in several, even redraft leagues. He picked him up everywhere he could get him, so he's looking pretty good right now because he's got him before he had to go spend money, fab money, to get him. So kudos to you, Joe. And then Matt also put something about Gainwell. He said that Gainwell was getting all the running back snaps in the 2-minute drill, looking underrated. So yeah, great observation there as well, too, because 2-minute drill is where you want your guy that you want to have the ball, and it wasn't Miles Sanders, so something to consider there. All right, Elijah Mitchell, another one that several of us wanted to put down. Guys, if this says anything to you, I'm desperate for running back in one of my redraft leagues because I had J.K. Dobbins and Travis Etienne, and I've been looking for an opportunity to get a guy. I'm putting all my fab money down on Elijah Mitchell after week one and see what happens. Why the hell not? I'm done with fab after this week. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I won't have to worry about setting waivers for that. I can just pick up first come, first serve after that. But I believe that Elijah Mitchell can be that guy. Yes, he's a rookie. Yes, they've got game film on him now. And yes, they can plan for him. But he's a running back. It's different with running backs. All running backs need is a hole. And any running back in that offense can be successful when given the opportunity, and now is his time. Mostert is out for at least 8 weeks. Elijah Mitchell is owned practically nowhere in redraft leagues. He went for 104 yards and a touchdown in his rookie debut after Mostert went out early this week. Joe also put something down here about Elijah Mitchell. He says that Mostert is down for a while, and Kyle Shanahan uses every running back at his disposal. Sermon will be activated and is my third waiver wire option. So I did not read that part before when I was going through this. So he's saying you should even lay down some money on Sermon. Both will see plenty of action, but Mitchell will get his share of touches and fantasy points. So yeah, they activated Mitchell over Sermon because they felt like Sermon wasn't quite ready yet. Unfortunately for Sermon, he better get ready real fast because just like Joe said, they need him. So it's a good one. Mark Ingram. Matt lays down Mark Ingram here, and he says that somehow he's only owned in 12% of leagues. And Mark Ingram was, if memory serves, Mark Ingram was the number one running back. Oh, yeah, Alex also put something down about Mark Ingram. There it was. That's what I saw. He says 11% of leagues. So he, so I believe he used ESPN. Either way, it's still 11, 12%, whatever, of leagues, and led Houston in carries. Mark Ingram led Houston in carries. They have an extremely tough schedule coming up over the next seven games. So that's something to consider. They're probably going to be abandoning the run early, but to get a starting running back is pretty tough to come by sometimes. So Mark Ingram is definitely a guy worth looking into if you're like me and you're desperate in some leagues. Let's say you miss out on Elijah Mitchell. He's definitely somebody worth getting. Then I added at the last minute Latavius Murray, because I didn't have him on the list before because I assumed that he would be owned in too many leagues. We try to keep everything under a 60% rostered limit for our waiver wire episode. I went back and looked after he scored that touchdown tonight that I watched, and he is only owned in 45% of redraft leagues. So he does qualify here. I'm surprised maybe a lot of people dropped him after he got dropped by the Saints. We had to have saw that he was going to get picked up soon, and we had to have saw that it was going to be the Ravens. I believe we talked about that a few times on the show as well. This one to me is a no-brainer. He just scored a touchdown, like I said, as I was getting ready to record, and that was in the fourth quarter when it counted the most. Tyson Williams scored a touchdown earlier. He's obviously going to be the guy, but Latavius is a good back with his own standalone value, and they play Detroit in week three, which is something to consider. So most likely Tyson Williams gets to sit out a little bit. They use Latavius in that garbage time. He picks up, which is what he's used to doing for New Orleans with being Kamara's understudy. And I believe that that's a great pickup as well. Nate put Jimmy White, because you all know that Nate does not like to use their actual real names whenever he can avoid it. So James White is owned in 47.5% of leagues. He clearly still has a large role. He lines up all over the field. Stevenson and Harris both are having issues. White won't have those problems. And we know that because we have a long history of White not having the problems of fumbleitis working against him. He had four rushes for 12 yards, but six grabs for 49 yards, which really helps out, especially in PPR. They have Houston and the Jets in Houston and the Jets twice are three of their next six games. So something to consider there. James White is a value pick later on in the waivers. Let's see. That's it for the running backs, which are the big ones. So we've got wide receivers, we got tight ends, we got running backs, we got those quarterbacks, your defensive and special teams, defense and special teams for those redraft leagues that have defense and special teams. I'm going with the Browns this week. Again, they play Houston. And I know that we talk about Houston. I believe that Houston's going to be a mirage. I think what we saw was they were playing against a very uninspired Jacksonville Jaguars team. Plus, I've said all offseason that I think the Cleveland's defense is much improved from last season. And they held Kansas City in check for nearly an entire half, which is not something that most teams are able to do. Granted, they did blow it in the second half and in typical Browns fashion, but they looked really good against a really good team. So I see good things happening for the Browns this season. So maybe now you pick them up, you see what they can do against Houston, and maybe keep them for a little while and see what they can do so you don't have to keep streaming defenses all the time. The Saints are another defense that I have for this week because they're playing Carolina, because they went out and shut down Rodgers and company and made them look weak as hell. And we know that Rodgers and company is not weak as hell, but they made them look weak. So let's see what they can do against Darnold, see if maybe they can force Darnold to see ghost out there again. But if they can keep Carolina down as well and keep this Saints defense rolling and keep that Saints offense in good field position where they can score early and often, taking a lot of the pressure off of that defense so they can just pin their ears back and go after the quarterback, this could be a really solid powerhouse defense because of the setup many weeks because of their schedule later on in the season. So definitely worth hanging on to them. Last but not least, my kicker of the week, guys. You know I'm all about those kickers, and if you looked at the thumbnail before you clicked on here, you already know who it is. And that kicker is going to be on the thumbnail every week. This week, it's Chase McLaughlin, the former Indianapolis Colt. He's playing for Cleveland. Again, they're playing Houston. It's in Cleveland. Enough said. I just believe firmly that that Cleveland offense is going to score a lot of points against that Houston defense, and he's going to be the recipient of all those extra points, all those field goals. It's just a good situation this week for Chase McLaughlin, so he is my kicker of the week. Guys, that's your waiver wire episode for week two. I'm going to say it's for week two because it's after week one. We're trying to pick up these waiver guys for our week two lineups, so that's how I'm gonna title these. That's your waiver wire episode for week two. Thank you all very much for joining us. Thank you for supporting us. Like I said, this is a Patreon-centric episode. Eventually, it's just going to go to Patreon supporters only. The other people won't be able to get it at any point. So patreon.com/toilets and titles. Help us out. $5 a month, you get this episode. $10 a month, you actually get a free entry into the Frankenstank League for next season. And you're also going to get some merchandise eventually once we can get all that worked out. But again, thank you for your support. Thank you for your time. Good luck to you all in week two. And hopefully we were able to help you out.